Turn with you will, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. But I'm going to start at verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and the record is not true. And Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. Ye judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And I am that bear witness of myself and the Father that sent me, beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Yea, neither know me nor my Father. And if ye had known me, ye should have knoweth my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. It's very interesting, this passage here. We have to go back to Exodus, which we won't, or Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk about the Feast of the Tabernacle. The travelers would make a pilgrimage every year to remember them wandering in the wilderness for 40 days, for 40 years, for 40 decades. 40 years, there we go, 4 decades. They would make a pilgrim to Jerusalem wandering. So this is the backdrop of what he's talking about, what Jesus is talking about. He starts off and says, I am the light of this world. This is a great claim. Great claim and a great promise. Jesus said, I am the light of this world. He that made a great claim of deity, the words, I am. I had a gentleman argue with me before, arguing is the wrong word in a Bible study, saying that Jesus never really raised his voice, and everyone says that he raised his voice. I said, no, I just think his words were that powerful. I raised my voice because that's how I talk. But Jesus could say, I am. And when he said it, it has a lot more meaning, as in, I am the light. He didn't have to raise his voice when he said it. He just knows. I am the light of this world. This was the first thing that he said in the passage. The great promise has a twofold meaning. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness. He that followeth me shall have light of life. These are two critical points here. The man does not possess light, not within himself and not by nature. Men are in darkness by nature. When I say men, I'm talking about humans, not just the male species of humans. Mankind, we're born into darkness. The man is delivered out of darkness by following Jesus. Note the word following, followeth. It's a continuing process. We're still following after Jesus. We didn't catch him and that's it. Woo, I'm good to go. I'm saved, ready to go. Covered by the blood of Christ. Yay! Which is great. But if you're following Jesus, you're going to make baby steps. You're going to take strides forwards. And you're going to fail miserably, but you're going to keep moving forward to try to be like him, to try to be like Jesus. It's a continuous motion to follow and to receive the light. Colossians 1, verse 14 and 15. In whom have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. Jesus used the term light of life. Man exists in darkness until he follows Christ. Then we have true meaning, true purpose, and true significance. And that life cannot be seen apart from following Christ. The Pharisees objected to the claim of Jesus. Do we have modern-day Pharisees in the church today? We do. We know who they are. Some get so caught up in this tradition or that tradition. We want it done this way. We want it done that way. If it's not done this way, something's not right. That's a little legalistic Pharisees sitting right in the pews, sitting online, pointing finger. How come you do it this way? We do it that way over here. It's not really in the Bible how you do that. But we do have Pharisees in the church today. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming, that he was the Messiah, that he alone could give light to the world. In their minds, only God could give light to the world. They didn't realize how close and how correct they were. God, Jesus, right in front of them, said he was the light of this world. They didn't see it. We often, Bible-believing Christians, we kind of dog these people out. But they always wonder, if I was there, would I have seen it? Would I have seen it myself if Jesus was in front of me? If the Word became flesh and walked around the street here, would I know it? If I bumped into a Walmart, would I know who it was? I'm not defending them. I'm just saying. The same like we talk about the people who wandered in the desert for 40 years. They saw the miracles, and they still turned away. Well, we see the miracles every single day, and we still have people turn away from the church, turn away from God, and they see it every single day. You know, we're talking about a baby. That's amazing. I can't see how anybody can look at a brand new baby and not be immediately happy. But can't look at a brand new baby and be like, this is God. God, there's no way this was an accident. There was no way this was not by a divine creator to make this perfect little child. But Jesus alone was bearing witness to his claim. He had no other witnesses. Therefore, his claim was false, is what they thought. And Jesus, the light, said that he is the light of men and the light of this world. For it is possible for light, Jesus himself, to be in men, not without his help, not without the Holy Spirit's help. The light is what he is within himself. Within him, within his being, within his nature, within his essence, within his character. And Scripture says that God is light. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Therefore, Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. And that's 1 John 1:5 and Colossians 1:15. Jesus, the light, tells us that the Holy Spirit, and that he is righteous and he is pure. The light is a symbol of purity. Light means the absence of darkness and blindness, and has no spots of darkness or blackness, nor of sin and shame. But Jesus, as the light, reveals and shows us clearly the nature and the meaning of the destiny of all things. The light shines in spots and opens up and identifies and illuminates, and it shows us things that we don't see. We've ever been in a dark room working on a car at night and have to get a flashlight looking for something, the power goes out. Most of us can relate to this scenario. And it's amazing how that one little flashlight, that one little light on our phone nowadays, lights up that whole room. That light penetrates any darkness whatsoever. That darkness can never surround that light and penetrate it the opposite. It doesn't work like that. That little bitty light lights up a room, illuminates a room, and darkness, and it says in the Scripture, cannot comprehend it. Darkness can't do anything when the light is there. And that's how Jesus is, the light of the world. When you follow Jesus, you're that light walking through darkness. When you're not following Jesus, you're trying to make your way through darkness with darkness. It's just not going to work. I don't know if I said it here or not, but I met a multimillionaire. He's dying. And he said the words, and he said that, you know, I never had much use for God. Those were his words. Man's in his 80s, very successful businessman. Accomplished everything he accomplished without God. And my thoughts is simply, imagine what you could have accomplished with God. It's how successful you were as a man. And it's a sad event because this man is dying without Christ, without the light. But Jesus' light guides, and the light allows a man to walk out of darkness. Man no longer has to grope and grasp and stumble and try to find his way through life. Jesus has lit the path for us. He knows exactly which way to go. We stumble because we get distracted by the darkness and we head in this direction. But eventually we get pulled back into the light, pulled right back on the path that we're supposed to go through Jesus. Jesus lights, he wipes out, he strips away, and he erases the darkness. The empty chaos of creation was routed by the light given by God. When God said, let there be light. And Jesus is the light that can save man from chaos. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the light of the world at the great Feast of Tabernacles. The very first ceremony of the feast holds great significance for Jesus' claim. It was called the illumination of the temple. The illumination of the temple. Everybody makes their pilgrimage and they're going to come into Jerusalem. They're going to come into the temple. It's almost set up like a stadium, is how I can envision this. So at night they have their torches lit, their lanterns lit, and they're coming down into the temple of God, and it's lighting. Now that light, if you can imagine what a flashlight would do, that lighting coming off of that temple and coming out of that area would light the city. And Jesus is standing there, and he says, I am the light of the world. He sees it, he understands it, and he said it. At this feast, I am the light of the world. So that's the big backdrop behind this tabernacle. Can you even imagine that, him saying that? I think of myself, I'd probably be a Pharisee. I'd probably argue with him. How dare you say that? I studied the scriptures, I know. Because that's how we are. I read the Bible. That's not how this works. But we just never know. Hopefully, I would see him, but probably wouldn't. Unless he explained it in a way where I would understand it. But darkness. The word here for darkness in scripture can be both defined as a state of works of man. The darkness is very real in scripture. Because we understand we're born into darkness. Anybody says that, oh, that's a little baby, it's a little innocent baby, didn't deserve to die. I have to argue. Unfortunately, scripture says we're all born without Christ. We deserve to die because we're sinners. Darkness is very real in scripture. The darkness refers to the world of the natural man. When I say man, I'm saying humans. Humans were born into darkness. And if you don't know Jesus, you're still in darkness. And the natural man walks in arrogance of Christ. The natural man walks of God revealed only through Jesus Christ. The natural man is ignorant of the real purpose and destiny of life that can only be shown through Jesus Christ. The natural man stumbles and grasps about in this world, and he knows nothing other than the things of this world that he has seen. The gentleman that I was speaking on, all he has is what he can see. And now he understands his time is very limited. So when you only focus on the physical aspects of things, when you're dead, that's it. Now you really understand because you're going to get full knowledge. But if you focus on heavenly things, then we understand. Our rewards aren't here. Our rewards are elsewhere. Focusing on the very physical things that we can see. And hey, trust me, we're all guilty of it. We all do it. But we need to be focusing on the things of not of this world, because that's where we're going to be forever. We're going to spend somewhere in eternity. The darkness symbolized unpreparedness and unwatchfulness, and it symbolized the time when evil occurs. The darkness is loved by men. Sinful men do their evil deeds under the cover of darkness. Men therefore hate the light, because the light uncovers their evil behavior. The darkness is hostile to the light. I've said this, and I will make this comparison, the light to the Word of God. People don't want to hear the Bible. They don't even want to hear it. I've witnessed this with my own. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. They don't want to hear it because they're going to get convicted. Because the Word of God will convict you. I have an argument with a friend of mine who says, I read the Bible. I don't see what you're saying. I've read the Bible. And I'm like, I call BS. Because there's no way you can read the Bible and not get convicted over something. Unless you're so cold and callous and you're just reading it just out of spite, there is no way you can read the Bible and not get convicted. The Word of God is going to pierce you. It's going to grab you, and it's going to bring you to the light. There's no way that cannot happen. But the Pharisees are upset because Jesus didn't have two witnesses. You're saying this of yourself. And the witness of Jesus was very true. His witness was sufficient evidence for a strong reason. Jesus knew his origin, his destiny, and where he had come from, and where he was going. He came out of heaven. He came from another spiritual dimension. Can't wrap my mind around that. Can't even comprehend it. I could tell you what I think it is. But to be removed outside of everything that we see and then become a created thing just to die for our sins, I've said this forever, and I would love this to have someone take some it would take some real money and do a nice movie of Revelation. I don't mean some cheesy stuff where they skip everything. No, a nice little movie. We have the technology to do that, but I don't see Hollywood rushing to do that nowadays. But a natural man only looks for the things that he can see. So the Pharisees couldn't see. All they saw was Jesus physical. They didn't understand the spiritual side of him. They could not tell where Jesus had come from, nor where he was going. They were blinded. They were blinded because they focused only on the physical. He had come from heaven, from a spiritual dimension, and he had been an eyewitness of heaven. He had been in the very presence of God himself. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. John 3:11. Verily, verily, it's truly, truly in English. So saying, truly, truly, I say unto thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear witness of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell where I came from or whither I go. There's so much sad in that. In that verse, in verse 14 there. They didn't know. These are the scribes. These are the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders. The ones that's been studying the scripture. They couldn't see it. Not all of them. When you unpeel the onion, you read the Bible a few times, there's actually pretty good scribes. Joseph, for one, nice religious leader who he knew. There was ones who were secretly around Jesus who they knew what was going on. But the only evidence that they had is what they see, the physical side of this world. And I believe it's about time we start focusing on the spiritual side, the things that we don't see. Because trust me, there's somebody whispering in some of these politicians and some of these leaders. Somebody around them's talking and telling them this and telling them that. That's why the world is heading the path that it's going now. But we need to realize that. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 7:24. Jesus did speak, nor act alone. The Father was with him, and the Father sent him. Therefore he claimed and did was the act of the Father. He did what he was told to do from the Father. What he claimed was true. He had two or more witnesses. Jesus also called God Father, and refer to God's mission, his mission, the Father that sent me. You see, we see a true father and son relationship here. Father, he had come from a presence in the household from his Father, from heaven, from the spiritual down to the physical. Therefore, he was not alone. He was doing the will of his Father. I am the light of the world. He that follows shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. We understand the law, as Jesus even said. And I always like how he said, your law. And that's kind of funny. He didn't put himself in there, even though he followed the law. Your law says you need two or more witnesses. And Jesus was true. Everything he said and he did was to glorify God, to lead men to God, to worship and praise and to honor and to serve God. Why don't we do that in everything that we do? I have my answer. My flesh is weak. When I leave out of here, we're going to rush and we're going to go to the hospital. We're going to pick up a package and we're going to take it to another hospital. The courier at the hospital, there's something going on with their contract, so I just said I'm going to jump in and I'm going to do it. So whoever I run into between now and there, is the gospel going to be the right thing on my mind? I would like to say yes, but normally that's not the truth. If I'm going too fast and I get pulled over, do I try to, ain't trying to get out a ticket, but do I try to preach the gospel? And those handful of people, and I'm talking like out of 150 people, we're talking about four people who's refused to hear anything that from the gospel. And I tell them, I'm the worst chaplain in the world. I'm not going to force Jesus down your throat. But I am going to sneak in the conversation. And some of them don't even want to hear that. They're ready to go. The unbeliever does not know God. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. Somebody say, that's a Bible contradiction. No, it's not. Read the Bible. You'll figure it out. God must come from a heavenly world in a spiritual dimension without entering this world and enter this world, revealing the truth of himself. We understand that's what Advent's about, right? Preparing the way. Preparing his first coming. While we celebrate his first coming, we should be focusing on that next coming. Because that's going to catch many of us off guard. Jesus was the express image of the invisible God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. It always makes me wonder, what is your will? When somebody asks me what's my purpose in life, I always tell them, same thing. Worship and praise God. Try to bring somebody closer to heaven. Try to get one other person with you. I've said it more than one time standing right here. Let's try to get one more person, one step closer. We don't know who that is. One time in the other church I preached at, I prepared a whole sermon around one guy who I thought was unsaved. I just kind of point in that direction because that's where he sat at the other church. And I planned the whole sermon, every detail of that dude's life. I had something prepared for him on everything that he was going to say. He didn't go to church that day. So I said, I'm never going to do that ever again. I'm just going to preach and just what it is. My intention was to try to save that dude. He didn't go to church at all that day. So I always wonder what our will is, and we don't know. My will might be, I think it's over here, but yet God's pushing me in this direction. I do know one thing, God placed all of us together for a reason, or I wouldn't be here. Or you wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. But as I close here, I'm going to say this. We cannot see the future or the next world in darkness. We can only see the future and the next world with the light. We cannot see God, who he is, or what he is like without the light. We cannot see the real meaning or significance or purpose in our lives without the light. We cannot grasp perfect knowledge, nor the assurance of the next life without the light. Without the light, we are in utter darkness. Every single one of us without the light. But let me tell you, with the light, all of that changes. With the light, we can move forward. I've heard it said many, many times from the pulpit, go out and be the salt and light. Said it myself. Go be the salt and the light. Be the light. Be that joy in someone's life. The salt one kind of threw me off for years. But everybody likes a little flavor. Got to have a little salt in some food, right? Salt was also put together to preserve stuff. So go preserve somebody's life by being that salt and being that ray of sunshine, that ray of light, so they can move forward. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we're grateful. Let us leave out of here, Father, so we can affect one other person. So we can be a little bit better than we came in here, Father. Father, I just ask that the Holy Spirit just engulfs everybody listening to my voice. Give them the strength to study their word, the strength to move forward, the strength to get over their trials and their tribulations, Father. Father, we understand that you know all. You know what's in our hearts, and you know what's not in our hearts. Father, guide us out of the darkness and into the light. And if there's anybody here, let them accept Christ today while they can. We understand tomorrow is not promised, Father. Sadly, some of us won't be here. We're going to wake up one day, and that's going to be it. And make sure we wake up with the light, Father. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.